Hey, this is Nick Gelso, co-owner and founder of CLNS Radio. Today's podcast is brought to you by Lynda.com. Lynda.com is the home of expert video tutorials. Because you're such a loyal listener of CLNS Radio, and it's 2015, you want to kick the new year off in style, claim your free trial today from CLNS by going to Lynda.com/CLNS. That's LYNDA.com/CLNS. Now on to your regularly scheduled program.
Welcome to the Boston Celtics postgame show on CLNSradio.com.
Off the turnover, Rondo reverse, banks it in.
Fans, this is your destination for interactive Celtics coverage all season long.
Kelly still has time, takes it.
So what are you waiting for? We want to hear from you. Dial in at 347-215-7771.
Green out of the corner. Got another one.
Now let's get it started.
Ay, 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 boy. Gentlemen, tonight is one of those nights where you would just want to grab a piece of organic brew, beer, of course, out of your fridge and just chuck that game. We are welcome. It's the Celtics post game show. This is probably going to be the most exciting show that we have done all year. Definitely the games that we've seen. Oh wait, this was the Cavs game, not the Warriors game. I'm sorry. My name is Matt Rury. Calvin Chamberlain, my wonderful Careless Whispers co-host, is joining me tonight on this post-game show. Calvin, we have a ton to talk about.
Yeah, we do, man. So how did that game make you feel? How do you feel inside?
I feel like I need a peak organic. That's how I feel, of course. The CLNS Radio post-game show brought to you by Lynda.com and Peak Organic Brew Brewing, I should say. Tell you a little bit more about both of those things later in the show. But for now, we will tell you that, of course, the Celtics have dropped a game in Cleveland, if you want to call it a game. 110-79, they were down by 44 at one point in this game. And for the first time in 10 years, they have not been down 40 in 10 years. So this game did not make me feel good at all. It's very discouraging after such a great game against Golden State on Sunday.
Yeah, it's funny because it was just a terrible matchup, man. Like, there's not really, we can lay it all out and explain why they lost this game. But if you look at what the Celtics, came into this game with, what they were dealing with, specifically I'm referring to their depleted front line. They don't have Sullinger. They don't have Olenek, which I realize has been, something that's happened a couple games now. Tyler Zeller in this game, picked up a couple of cheap fouls. His third foul, I thought, was a sort of a flop by Kyrie Irving, and so I don't necessarily think that he should have gotten it. But in the second half, it seemed like when Brad Stevens gives up on Tyler Zeller, just generally speaking, he's got no interest in bringing him back into games, even though he could be valuable again later in that game. So
he kind of gave up on the whole team, didn't he? I guess Zeller first, though. Zeller only played 12 minutes in this game.
Yeah, he only played 12 minutes, and I don't think he'd get back in the game after he picked up that third foul in the second quarter. Maybe he came back for the start of the second half. I can't remember off the top of my head, but if he did, he certainly didn't play more than, a minute or two. The fact that he picked up those sticky tack fouls, and all of a sudden what you're looking at with Celtics, front line trying to defend the rim, you're looking at guys like Shavik Randolph, you're looking at guys like Jonas Trebko playing what Sean Grady called a stretch five. That's not going to cut it when you're playing one of the best offensive teams in the league, or even really any team. Brandon Bass wasn't particularly effective.
Calvin, that didn't cut it against Kendrick Perkins tonight. Kendrick Perkins kind of had his way in the paint in his guard.
Yeah, although Perkins didn't didn't play much until garbage time, pretty much. But
right.
Yeah. So they were terrible defensively, and on the other hand, you know, LeBron kind of did whatever he wanted. It's funny because I felt like they, you know, if you want to be an analytics guy, the flaw in analytics is like when you force a guy into tough shots. You know, if that guy's LeBron, then he's hitting the shot easily. Like Avery Bradley forced LeBron early to get a look at a layup, and Bradley sort of forced him to dribble it out. And I'm sorry, Turner on that particular play. And he just did a pull-up fadeaway along the baseline. Like, as he was dribbling, he just did a turnaround pull-up fadeaway, and it went down. And, like, early in the game, they were keeping him away from the basket. For the most part, he got a couple of looks, but, like, he was just hitting mid-range jumper, you know, going down time and again. And it's like, what do you do about that? Like, you talk about analytics all you want, but, like, if you can't defend a guy out on the perimeter, then that's not a bad shot for him to take. And then that's exactly what happened. I thought, you know, they kept Turner on him, in my opinion, a little bit too long. But I guess, you know, they had matchup issues all over the floor. Avery Bradley had a hard time, you know, staying in front of Kyrie Irving with his crazy dribble. That was certainly an issue. Rebounding was definitely an issue. Tristan Thompson and Kevin Love were on the boards a bit. Timothy Mozgov, you know, was a wall. I think we see how much better they are now as a team with Mozgov out there, because he had three blocks, and really, like, the Celtics had trouble getting the basket all night. I mean, anything you want to say, it's like they didn't...
Anything they didn't you want to say, Clay.
Yeah.
Literally anything you want to say badly about this game went wrong. So, I mean, just... It's not... There's nothing good at all. So... We should probably. What do you think?
We should probably what?
End the show right now. What do you think? 7 minutes in? No, I'm kidding, of course. Because I haven't told anybody yet about anything like calling us at 347-215-7771 or hitting us up on Twitter at CNS Radio. And I am also on Twitter at Team Green. You can't hear me or I'm breaking up, then too bad. We're going to fight through this thing. And that's all there is to it. So, done. No, I'm not anything. Any of that?
Nothing. Just you asking any of that, basically.
You couldn't hear any of that.
Well, the last thing you said was we're going to fight through it, and then whatever you said after that, I didn't hear you until you said you didn't hear any of that.
Oh, I didn't say anything after we fight through it. I just stopped.
Oh, okay, my bad. I continue to hear sounds, so I was waiting for it to like come back into focus.
Well, this is just typical of the way the game went tonight. So it's going to be as ugly as the game. Either way. We will try to entertain you. That was my own fault. That was my tongue-tiedness. That wasn't me in a bad connection or anything like that. But there's nothing good to say about this game. So let's try and look at a little bit of a bigger picture thing here. Does this game show anything that concerns you about this Celtics team? Like they can't bounce back from a tough game and play well the next night, or is this just kind of a blip in the schedule?
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily think that. I think they're a young team with young legs. I think it was a blip in the schedule. They did play poorly. We talked about how much depth they lack right now, you know, with their big men, centers, and forward rotation. And with the fact that Zella got in that foul trouble, you know, that leads to the fact that they're playing guys like Randolph and Jarebko, who, you know, if the Celtics do somehow manage to make the playoffs, I'm not sure how far out they are now, but you wouldn't imagine that those guys would be playing in a playoff series anyway, so I wouldn't be too concerned about that. I think part of it is the matchup. They frankly don't really have anyone to guard LeBron, or I would have liked to have seen more Jay Crowder on LeBron, to be honest with you. I felt like they gave LeBron a matchup with a smaller guy all night, and I think part of it is because they're so thin at the forward position.
Yeah, now, why do you why, Why do you think Brad Stevens won away from Jay Crowder? He only played 14 minutes. I mean, his shot was ugly as usual. I was getting texts from my father as well, telling me that Jay Crowder was chucking up brick. So I mean, I still don't want this guy shooting, but all around, he's shown that you would want to see in kind of that type of role player. So what did you see anything that made Stevens go away from him? Because he seemed to be effective other than his shot.
I especially saw this early. I mean, obviously at a certain point, the game broke down. And by the certain point, I mean like midway through the second quarter, and it's sort of trying anything to see what works, and that's when Jay Crowder started getting his minutes. But I think the reason why he dropped out of the starting lineup and why he didn't necessarily get important minutes tonight is simply because of the fact that it seems like Stevens is really trying to work that four out on the 3-point line, one in sort of offense. And if you have a guy who can't shoot three, it makes it much harder to execute that offense because, you know, you can have a guy sort of cover two guys out there and allow a second guy to help on the interior. So I think that he was really trying to put guys out on the perimeter. That's why he's been playing Bradley, Smart, and Turner together, because all of them can hit, you know, jump shot. Turner a little bit less so on the threes, but at least he can pull that range out to at least, you know, 20 feet. And then you add in Isaiah Thomas with that. I think that's really what he's trying to do, spread the floor as much as possible. You'll probably see more of that. You know, we did see more of that with Sullinger and Olmedic, like having your big guy be able to shoot out there also. Bass even took and hit a three tonight, which I can't remember the last time I saw Bass hit a three. I mean, he's probably done it, but I really think it's a function of the offense as much as anything.
Shavlik Randolph was chucking threes tonight. It doesn't matter who shoots threes tonight, right? So
I think that's why Jerebko's getting minutes too, because let's be honest, like Jonas Jerebko's not a very good basketball player. Otherwise, like he's just big enough, and that's why they're calling him a stretch five. He's sort of functionally trying to play that Kelly Olynyk role, but he's not as good as Olynyk, but he can't shoot, so that's why he's getting the minutes.
Well, so you don't think that Jerebko would get any minutes on this team if Olynyk were playing?
I'm sorry, say that again?
You don't think that Jerebko would get any minutes on this team if Olynyk was playing?
Certainly not if Olynyk and Sullinger were playing. No, I can't imagine. But I think that he basically serves the same function as Olynyk, except that he's, you know, Olynyk's a little bit better of a rebounder. And, you know, I don't have his shooting percentage in front of me, but I would imagine that Olynyk's probably a little bit better of a perimeter shooter, definitely a better defender and bigger. You know, Olynyk's not a great defender, but I don't see anything out of Jerebko defensively. So
yeah, defensively, you're right. Okay, I'll give you that. And especially as a stretch five that you're saying that Sean Grady sort of made that stretch five. It's not a thing. Obviously, he was being facetious, but Jonas Jerebko, you are for your team in the NBA. Let alone, I mean, not even small forward if you're Calvin James.
I'm sorry, were you done? You know, whatever you said cut out on me. So,
no, I was done. I was done. So you keep thinking that I'm cutting, just I'm stopping and trying to lead it into you. You gotta stop thinking about it. Don't get hung up on the thing whether it's cutting out or not. Oh, just be.
Well, it's hard when I'm like trying to figure out what you said, and then it's like sometimes another word comes in, and then sometimes you're just dead, and then I'm not exactly sure when you stopped. But yeah, I Jerebko's actually hitting 40% at the first three, so I'll give him that. So I guess he is a guy who can do it. I just don't think, like, putting him, especially defensively, you put him out there, like, trying to guard it big. I mean, Cleveland went to town, particularly Irving, on the rim. They got a lot of fast break points. That's the other thing. He's not particularly fast. I'm not a big fan of his. I guess he kind of fits what they're doing again, you know, at the 3-point line. But it's like, all right, well, you took 28 threes. That's great, but you went 7-28. You know, like that's not gonna it's not gonna help you win if you don't have if your guys don't actually have that sort of range. Running that offense doesn't entirely make sense, and I think it's a good thing that he's trying to develop what you would call a quote, you know, modern NBA offense on this team. I'm just not necessarily sure that what he's doing like fits the personnel to the degree that you would like. What do you think?
All right, you know what I'm gonna do right now?
What?
I'm going to tell everyone that we are going to have a surprise in about 30 seconds, maybe to a minute. And this man may sound as though he's had a few clinics. Okay? Ready for the surprise?
Yeah, you really cheesed it out there for me.
There for you. I'm going to see what I can do. Getting myself choppy, and for the next minutes here on the Celtics post game show, you, Kevin Chamberlain, are going to talk to the one and only Nick Gelso, who's been helping us on social media.
Calvin, it's the ghost
time,
of Will Chamberlain. I know. How you doing, man? I've been listening to you. I have to say, I agree with most of what you're saying this season. Your criticisms,
you
I think, have been spot on.
Did you watch the game tonight? Well, it's like.
Yeah, I watched it tonight.
In this situation, it's like, what could they really have done to win this game? Let's be honest.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't even get frustrated by this.
Right.
It is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You watch the game and you say, okay. It's like, I actually felt like they, for example, especially early on in the game, they did force LeBron into some difficult shots, but he just made them look easy. And what can you do in that situation? I mean, they
He was in. Yep, you're exactly right.
You could argue they were a little bit careless with the ball with some of those strips in the first half. Mm-hmm. But I think that
for the most part, they didn't play horrible. I think it was like the Cavs really beat them. You know what I mean? Like LeBron was good tonight, and the Celtics. I don't know. I mean, they've been playing pretty well. I've been tuning in lately, so I wasn't that frustrated tonight. If I hadn't seen any games lately, I would have been really frustrated, but. I get what you're saying about if you don't have the range, why play the long ball like that, right?
Right. What do you think about that?
Well, I agree with you 100%. I thought that all... It's almost like at times I feel like the big men that don't even have the range are still encouraged to shoot.
Like, everyone? Yes. You know what, guys? I'm back. They are encouraged to shoot. Jay Crowder's encouraged to shoot. I don't understand that. These guys shouldn't be chucking stuff like that. Get closer.
No, and you want your big men under the basket... To rebound, you can look for offensive rebounds. If you don't have the range, why even out at the 3-point line? It's like backwards basketball to me. I don't know. I haven't really watched enough to be critical and have a decent analysis of it. It's just what I've seen in dribs and drabs this season. It's frustrated me. That's frustrated me a lot.
Well, that's why I was asking Calvin earlier, Nick, about whether this is something that would concern him. That's a piece of it, I think, because if they can't come back and win games in a different way and they're just going to keep chucking after they have a game like they did against the Golden State, then that's something that would concern me a little bit. They have to change from game to game, and this team came out flat tonight, very flat.
Mm-hmm.
Do I sound better, by the way?
It's kind of like...
You sound better.
Yeah. It's kind of like...
I knew what the problem was. Yep.
A team without a leader is that way. Don't you think, Calvin? It's almost like they don't have a... I mean, and why would they? I don't blame them. I mean, this is a fresh team. It's all new players. But
there's no leader
to kind of push them through these type nights where you just don't want to show up.
Yeah, leader on the floor, for sure. You can argue that Brad Stevens is starting to step up in a certain way.
I think so,
In that role more than he was previously. But I think that I feel like Isaiah Thomas wants to be that guy, but I don't... I mean, he's the guy...
So, Nick, now that I have you, now that we have you here, I want to know what you think about this. Avery Bradley is coming out as a guy that's trying to be a leader, at least by some reports.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I think it's great, man. I mean, I've not really seen – I've been one of those guys really critical on Bradley over the years. I always thought he was a bit overrated and injury-prone. But, yeah, I think he's kind of taken on that role where he could have slouched because his buddy got traded. You know, I mean, he and Rondo were close. I think it's good. I mean, but who else is there? There's no one really else that's touched that championship team on that roster. I guess Bass still, right? He's still there. Is Bass still there?
And – yes, Bass is still there. This is the Celtics post-game show on CLNS Radio. We do know that Brandon Bass is on the roster. Nick Gelso has been manning social media for us on CLNS Radio, on Twitter, at CLNS Radio.
Got to understand. Yeah, I've been doing a lot of different – I haven't been watching this year because I've been
– I know you haven't. Well,
I'm going to bed early.
Nick, Luigi Datome got in tonight. Did you notice that? Gigi got in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, do you know what that is?
Yes, and you know what else too? Bass, like, I want to go back to Bass for a minute. I knew Bass was still on the roster, but I did for a second kind of think he wasn't. It's like maybe. And
well, there were so many rumors that he wouldn't be.
Well, I know, Rory. This is what crossed through my head. Oh, good God! Please tell me they gave Bass a break and got rid of him, because that guy just doesn't deserve this hell he's in.
But you know what? He's been on the record saying he wants to be here, and Ainge has been on the record saying that he may extend to Brandon Bass. So I think that's great.
For a while, but I think he's buying in. I just think it's just nuts, though. I mean, when he came to this team, everybody was thinking, "Oh, this is a championship piece right here," just because he's one of those guys who filled the role.
Calvin, now is Brandon Bass the type of player that you'd like to see on the Lakers?
Oh,
I like Brandon Bass a lot because he never complains about his role,
ever.
Which always constantly seems to be shifting, whether or not he gets minutes, whether he starts, where he comes off the bench. He sort of consistently plays the same way in either role, you know, no matter how many minutes he gets on a given night, which, again, it's not always consistent with him, but I feel like his play is pretty consistent. Sort of an underrated defender for his size. Yeah, I feel like as a role player, he's definitely somebody that I like.
He's a great piece, but the thing is, I think for a while this season, if I'm remembering correctly, he was disgruntled. He was public for a very short period saying he didn't know what his role was. I thought, and I'm not making that up, I don't think. I don't want to be like Bill O'Reilly and, geez, Brian Williams.
No, but I think that's correct. I don't know if anybody really knew what his role was. So I think that's something that Danny Ainge would probably say, okay.
Yeah,
I'm fine with you coming out saying that. It's fine.
But it was just weird that he mentioned it to the media. It was weird that he mentioned it to the media because he's usually pretty new level. Whatever, he's a great piece. I forgot he was on the team because he's so quiet. You know what I mean? He's not one of those guys like, you know, that's out in front of the camera. Like Isaiah Thomas is a great personality. I'll tell you. It's like the skies have parted, and they're not that like Brad Stevens is like this on a pedestal now, but he finally has control of this team, it seems like. Rondo had to go, which, Calvin, we've been saying for a long time.
Wow, if Nick Gelso is praising Brad Stevens for something, you know it must be happening. Nick, have you had a few peaks tonight, buddy, or what? I mean, what do you Facebook? You over on their peak website there, or what?
Yes, out their Facebook page, Organic. Yeah, I do. I love it. I've had it for the first time at the Marriott in Boston. I bet you their guys know more about the Celtics roster than the CEO of the company does right now. Because I can't.
They probably do.
How about I'm like, is Brandon Bass still on the team? I'm embarrassed about that. But I'll tell you.
You know what, Nick? Just sit back and relax a thing or two here.
I think Stevens is taking control of this team. I think so. I think we'll see.
So you said?
Yeah,
oh, we'll see.
I'll tell you, I like Isaiah Thomas, but I listen to Celtics Beat. Even if I've not been watching, I do listen to our podcasts. And I listened on Sunday, and Kyle Draper saying he's a sixth man at best on a championship team. And I think he's right. He's a great piece. I think he needs to stay on the team. I don't think Danny's looking to trade him or anything unless the right deal came along. But he's not an all-star. He's not a superstar player.
Oh. Listen, he's a solid role player. He's not going to be overpaid. He's going to go out and do his job, and he's not going to complain.
Attitude.
He's a guy that you want if you're going to build a winner. He
exactly.
He can and will be a winner at some point.
So what do you? he obviously different position, different style, everything. But is he like a Posey type character? Good attitude, good locker room guy.
Sure.
No. See, that's what you have to worry about with Isaiah. Is that he's now alienated.
Bass. No, Bass.
But Calvin. Bass. I thought you. Okay.
Because Nick is starting to realize that Bass is on the roster, and he's thinking of all these things, and they're coming rushing to his head, and he just wants to get them all out there. Take it to Twitter and put it on CLNS Radio's Twitter account. Right?
While I'm on the damn phone. Jeez, I'm on the phone here. I can't. Are you trying to get rid of me?
That.
I haven't been on this show in 2 months. I don't think.
I'm just trying to accentuate your role as the social media host here on the
CLNS Radio. Yes,
that's right.
I think Calvin wants to bust me about something.
Yeah. Yes, say something.
Yeah, because you brought up Rondo a couple minutes ago, and I told Ray that I wanted to talk to him about Rondo because before he was traded, you know, we were all very critical of Brad Stevens' coaching decisions.
Yes.
They were bad late in games, and I specifically remember Rui telling me one game that tried to call.
I know where you're going.
And Rondo ignored him completely, and it was the Celtics lost. They looked like they were doing.
Yes.
They weren't running offense out there. Like, how much of that, looking back now, do you
agree?
Like, your thoughts on this too? Yeah, how much now, looking back, do you feel like it was Rondo freelancing and really
Bradley, a lot?
Like, got a lot.
I think that was happening with Doc. Are you asking me this, Calvin or Rory?
Yeah, you can go. Give it to me.
Yeah, I think it goes back to Doc. I remember
I agree.
I remember certain situations like this, never in mid-game, but going into huddles where Doc has gotten in his face because he doesn't pay attention. And it didn't surprise me at all, and I thought that Stevens had no balls because he couldn't put up. At least Doc would put a stop to it. He'd bench him. And then Stevens did there, and he took control of the team a little bit. But then when I saw that, and you don't know how many people texted me or emailed me, I remember that post-game show. Rory wasn't a host. He called in from the Garden.
Right.
Rory, remember, you were at that game. You saw that live. And I think
I was a host of that for that show.
No, he's right. I was hosting. You called, and I was hosting with somebody else. I was sort of complaining about Brad Stevens' late game decision.
Yes.
And focusing on how bad it was, and you called in and said, "No, he tried to call some things, and Rajon Rondo completely ignored him."
Okay, I called in, but that was after that. That was a week after the show that I had actually hosted and mentioned that on the show because it was something that I had seen.
You called in,
right? But I'm saying that I called into the show that you were hosting, but the show you hosted was actually a week or a few games after the one where I saw that happen because I heard Mike Gorman and Scalabrine, they were the ones on TV that mentioned that Rondo was the one that
Gorman
ignored it.
So it was
So it was games before that I heard those guys on television mention something.
Right.
And that's when I started sort of trying to piece the things together and pick out things on my own to try and see if Rondo was ignoring Stevens. But
they
ignored it themselves.
Plain as day in Dallas, and it was about 5 in the morning the night after the game. I'm waking up, and I have SportsCenter on. I'm like, this is so typical. Before I even wash my face and brush my teeth, I'm on Twitter putting, yeah, Mavs fans, this is it, man. This is what you just got. And he's going to be gone. He's not going to stay there. No effing way. Are they going
to
keep him?
No, you know what? And this leads me to the next question, Nick. This leads me to the next question, and it's directed at Calvin because I am starting to fully – yeah, you know where I'm going. I'm fully starting to believe that Rajon Rondo is going to sign a contract with the Los Angeles Lakers.
So, Calvin, how
do you feel about that? Would you want him on your team after seeing the stuff that he's gone through this year?
I mean, it all depends on what the number is, right? I mean, that's what it comes down to. Like, do I think Rajon Rondo can still be a starting point guard in the right situation? Sure, but I said when he was on the Celtics, like, he's not, that's what I said.
Ever.
Especially as he ages. And clearly he's already in the process of aging, right? The idea that, like, Rajon Rondo is ever going to recover and come back to that, I think it's a pipe dream at this point. If we're talking, you know, like the Isaiah Thomas contract, you know, $8 million, $10 million, like, I'm fine with that. If we're talking, we're talking 15 to 20 million, then I'm going to have a problem with that.
No, I'm going to tell you what. He will never, he destroyed his chances at a max deal. Just by the fact that he couldn't get along with Doc Rivers, which is not, that's unfounded. Everybody gets along with Doc. I mean, Paul Pierce had that skirmish for a month. Whatever. But they, I mean, everybody gets along with Doc. Then Brad Stevens, I'm not saying I'm the hugest fan. I know I've been pretty on record being critical. But he is a very respected and well-liked coach in college and now in the NBA. This guy can't get along with him. And he's snide about it. He's real snide about it. So he just, and then Danny, you know, Danny trades him, and I think he just destroyed his value in that one move caught on camera with Rick Carlisle, because I think everybody went, aha. You know, it wasn't like, I think everybody had always kind of seen it with him, but didn't want to say it, you know. But
yeah, you know what, Nick, it's interesting because Doc wouldn't ever throw Rondo under the bus.
No.
And Brad Stevens didn't have the authority to do so, nor would he want to, I don't think. And Danny Ainge is not the type of person either. But Rick Carlisle, it appears, is such a hard ass that he doesn't care. It's his ship. It's not Rondo's ship. And he's not going to be made a fool of. And that's where maybe this is going to be a good thing for Rajon Rondo. But in the games after the fact, it doesn't seem to have affected him at all. It seems as though he's still doing the same lackadaisical stuff on the
case,
court.
Rory, I've been saying it since 2009. Head case. Total effing head case. When you show up for a deciding game late in a Red Bull car so you get everybody's attention saying, yeah, I'm late. Dude, he's a head case. So, and you know what? I fully believe he would sign with
maybe,
the Lakers.
Maybe Rondo.
Money. Listen,
Nick,
I believe he'd sign for the Lakers for less money because he's that whacked out. I mean, I like him. I don't like him on my team, but I like him. He's funny.
Calvin,
how much does Kobe have this? How much influence does Kobe have over Rajon Rondo? Is he a big part of this? What do you think? And would he be a reason that Rondo takes less money to go to L.A.?
Yep.
Isn't L.A. a place that overpays for players?
Yeah, but I don't think they would want to do that with Rondo, considering like they still have Kobe's $24 million on the book. Like maybe they do that for 1 year, but I think the Lin situation was such a disaster. I'm not sure that they're looking for a ball dominant point guard for next year. I mean, if they can get him at the right price, sure. But I seriously don't think they're trying to overpay for Rondo.
Well, listen,
they don't want to trade for Dragic either. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Do they have
counseling sessions on lynda.com?
I'm sure they do. Maybe Rondo's tuning in.
That's what I'm saying. Rondo, go check out CLNS Radio. No, go check out lynda.com/CLNS. And they may have some sort of a course that you can learn to not be such a head case and get along with people, maybe.
But here's the thing,
if you go there, Nick, freaking day try. Got to get that out there, too. I know your beautiful read was at the beginning, but...
But listen, man. Here's the crazy thing about Rondo. He will go to L.A. for less money to play for the Lakers just to create the story, that the storyline with it. And then he's also obsessed with fashion. He's in the middle of the acting and fashion world. He'd go there. I'm telling you, he's going to have a very successful...
I agree. I think he's going to go there, but I think that the storyline is buffered a little bit because Ainge shipped him out, and his time to Dallas is going to change that. And it's not, he went from the Celtics to the Lakers. It's he played for the Celtics and the Lakers, and that's about it.
Yeah, but how masterful does Ainge look right now? And I've been critical of I love Ainge,
love it.
But I've been critical of him, too.
I like what he's done,
amazing.
Nick. I like what he's done with the team, and I saw a graphic the other day that showed that he had like 12 or 13 first round projected picks in the next 3 to 4 years, which is unheard of. The next best team was 8 or 7 or 8 picks, I think, something like that. I'll see if I can pull that up, but yeah, it's wild what Danny Ainge has done with this roster.
All
and
under
Brad
our noses.
Stevens is just playing, right under our noses. Brad Stevens is playing the hand that he was dealt, and he's doing a really good job with it. So it's starting to give me some confidence that he's going to grow with some of these young players, and they're all going to figure it out at the same time. I hope they all figure it out at the same time. So
I like
anyway.
Him with the young players. And I think, too, the other thing is he just seems so hampered by Rondo. I just can't. He just sunk. I don't know what, but he just seems free now, and he's coaching with confidence. If that makes sense, you know, it's not. It was kind of like everybody in the world was second guessing him because Rondo was in a very
passive aggressive
way.
It's a players' league, and if the players, if the best quote unquote player on your team is questioning your coach, then that's where a problem begins, and that's where other people, especially fans, are going to question things. But the proof is that Danny Ainge did not question Brad Stevens, and this is his guy. So if you're going with him, make the push. Let's see them figure this thing out and make a push. I just wish they'd showed up tonight with a better display of basketball and maybe a little bit better of effort instead of losing by 41 points to the Cleveland Cavaliers, as good as Cleveland has been over the past few weeks, probably 6 weeks or so, the best team in the NBA. It's weird to see Kendrick Perkins in that Cleveland lineup, but you know what, Nick?
Yeah.
Come playoff time, he's not going to play, and he shouldn't play.
Does it bother you at all that Perk, when he was let go by Oklahoma City, went to Cleveland to play with LeBron?
I would have liked to see him in LA, you know, go to the Clippers, play with Doc again. That's the storyline I would have liked to see. But you know what? Maybe Perk sees Cleveland as a better chance to get to the finals.
I know where Calvin's going, Rory. You know where Calvin's going with that?
I know where he's going with it as well. I mean, I agree. I mean, Perkins, by his history, should not be going to play with LeBron James. Just some of the things that he said and done in games and just the rivalry that's been there. But maybe he sees that this is the best opportunity for himself, and you have to take it. I mean, you can't blame the guy, but it is a little bit strange, Calvin. It doesn't bother me necessarily, but I don't really understand why he chose Cleveland over a couple other places that he may be able to still get to the finals.
Yeah, it's just like, I know there's times like this that makes you realize that, like, it's all really just a job for them, you know?
It's a job, and it's entertainment for us.
So I get it. He wants to win a title. He goes to the best opportunity. It's just like you said, you know, things that he said, the things that he's done. There's other teams that he could try to put, you know, he could try to join. I'm sure, like you said, the Clippers need big men. There's other teams that need big men. You know, maybe Memphis needs a backup big man. It just surprises me that he's going to play with Cleveland, a team that also, by the way, Cleveland doesn't need Perk. If he was going, if that was like the one team that had a spot that he could fill, then you say okay. But it's like, okay, I'm going to go gravy train LeBron, this guy that I've run down.
I mean, why would he? I wonder if his agents even called the Washington Wizards to say, hey, do you need a third or fourth string center? I mean, you know, why wouldn't he entertain that? I wonder if he did. I don't want to get him in trouble for something he didn't do. But the whole thing about LeBron, it's probably not even really that true. And maybe he was just playing it up at the time, and he just wants to play with the best player in the league or have a good shot at a championship. And guys, on the other hand, maybe Kendrick Perkins is relatively washed up in the NBA or almost completely washed up in the NBA and nobody else offered him a contract. Maybe it's that.
Yeah. I think that's the case, to be honest. That's what I immediately thought. Now, I'm not following along this year like I usually do, but my thought was, people don't have the confidence in Perk like they did. I mean, he was a different player in Boston, even watching him tonight. And he got a lot of play tonight in that second half, but it was like they were cheering for him like he was a third stringer. He is, you know? So I think that was the best job offer he got, you know? I don't know. That's just what I thought. But it doesn't really bother me. He's far away from the championship at this point. And these guys, they were in the heat of the moment. Hey, I was forced to watch the Cleveland broadcast tonight. And they must have mentioned the games against the Celtics a million times. Calvin, what did you watch?
I usually have my choice with League Pass.
Oh, you have DirecTV?
No, I do League Pass online. And usually I choose to sell things to broadcasters because, if Sean Grady says something interesting, well, not because of that. It's just because if the announcers say something, then you sometimes will have callers who will.
Right, that'll reference.
Points that they see. Right, so I usually listen to them.
Scal,
our broadcast
yeah.
guys are good, though. When Grandy's great. I mean, Gorman's the best.
Yeah, so.
Tommy
so
gets a little obnoxious.
You probably had. Gorman
and
Scal tonight. Did you have Scal tonight?
Oh, Scal annoys me.
Yeah, so,
yeah,
Scal, so yeah. Gorman and Scal. I sometimes watch the game and listen with Grandy and Max.
I hear that a lot.
And I caught a lot of it at the beginning with Grandy and Max as well. So
I love Max.
These guys do know what they're talking about. And sometimes, you know what, you get more information listening to the radio guys than you do.
Yeah, you do.
Just doing your own research or watching the TV because they have some great stats. Our own, not really ours right now, but hopefully we'll hear from him again soon. Nick Stats Adam at one point was working with John Grandy. So, I mean, you know where their stats are coming from. They're usually some good things there. And speaking of guys that we have that are awesome at what they do in the garden, Jared Weiss is the best thing that CLNS Radio has going, Nick. And you've heard it from me right here, right now. Jared Weiss, for those of you that don't know, is the executive producer, the man behind the Garden Report. And what that is a compilation of a bunch of high-definition locker room interviews. You've got Jared and Jimmy Toscano and multiple other guests every time the Celtics play in the Garden. Kyle Draper the other day. That's a big get for those guys. They're getting excited. Peak Organic is excited about the Garden Report, and we are excited about them as well. So go check out the Garden Report at our YouTube channel, youtube.com/CLNS Radio. And Jared will be putting a new one together tomorrow night after the Celtics come home to play the Utah Jazz. So with that, guys, I want to preview that game just a little bit. Just
you
for
go for it. I'm going, guys. Hey, okay, I'm going. Nick. But I gotta tell you real quick. This is the best. It was like old school podcast. You know, like you hopped on your phones and just bullshitted about the game. This was great. It was fun. I'll see you later.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate you bailing me out. We'll talk to you later. And he's jumping back onto the Twitters and the Facebooks and all that at CLNS Radio on Twitter. There goes Nick Gelso. Helping me out, bailing me out when I was having a little bit of trouble to start this show. But I am back and I am strong now. And Calvin, before we get into the tomorrow night's game, by the way, the hosts for tomorrow night's show, while we're talking about it, are Bobby Krivitsky, Sean Backey, and Brian Langford will be jumping into Gelso's seat tonight, and he'll be taking over social media. So, but before we get into discussing that game a little bit, because I'm curious to see your take on the Utah Jazz right now, we'll make this a little post pregame show, a little combo deal. I want to tell everybody that I just mentioned the Garden Report, but also we have an app where you can listen to us on your iPhone or your tablet or your iPad or your Android device, and it's free, baby. Free with an F. That's how you spell free. It starts with an F. Yeah. Go get the app because if you like this show tonight, if you like the recovery that we just made with Nick Gelso, you can listen to it over and over again. Go to clnsradio.com to check that out. Actually, clnsradio.com/iOS free for your Apple devices and clnsradio.com/Android for your Android devices. It's free. Get it on iTunes. Get it and rate it. Anyway, this iteration of the Utah Jazz that is coming in to TD Garden tomorrow night, Calvin, is not very good.
Oh, wow. Very good.
They do have
You want to walk that back? Very good?
They're not very good at all. They suck. However, they have a couple of players that seem to have bright futures in this league. So I guess my question to you is, How many rebounds is Rudy Gobert going to get against the Boston Celtics tomorrow night?
Well, he got 24 tonight against the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
Who they're about,
this is where I'm going.
Right now. Yeah. So, it's going to be a tough matchup for them, especially for the fact that they also have to deal with Derek Favors in the front court, who he had three blocks tonight. He's not necessarily known as a great defender, but he's certainly an intimidating offensive force. And then, you know, Gordon Hayward's a big swing man. So the Jazz are a big team who are going to present matchup problems for the Celtics for that reason. The Celtics play a lot of that three-guard lineup. You're going to see a lot of, you know, Smart trying to guard Gordon Hayward. Yeah, we'll see how that goes. But hopefully Tyler Zeller can stay out of foul trouble. I think that's key to whether or not the Celtics win the game. But you don't see
yeah,
him,
honestly, this Jazz team... This Jazz team is pretty horrible when you look at it, but
yeah.
I just feel like their roster is better than the Celtics roster, which scares the crap out of me, because especially as constituted without Solinger and without a real center period that can stand up against some of these guys like Favors and Gobert, the Celtics are going to have to hope.
Go ahead.
Remember that? I was going to say the Celtics are going to have to hope that their guards just dominate this game and knock down all their shots. Otherwise, I think I'm going to be pretty annoyed going leaving the TD Garden tomorrow night. But we'll have to wait and see on that one, because this matchup looks crappy on paper for the Celtics, and I'm just worried that they're going to get blown out again. Is Utah capable of blowing somebody out?
Yes. You know, given the right situations. I think that the fact that they'll be playing on a back-to-back is advantageous for the Celtics, especially considering the Celtics can get into sort of a full-court game at times. If they can create turnovers, the Jazz don't protect the ball very well at all. Let's see, how many turnovers they have tonight? 15 is average, but you know, we're talking about guys like Exum. Hayward handles the ball a lot. Trey Burke is their other primary point guard. So, you know, guys like Bradley and Smart, and, you know, to a lesser degree, Evan Turner, they can put pressure on ball handlers.
They should.
They can run those guys ragged. So don't be surprised if the Celtics come out and dominate this game. I know that you think the Jazz are a very good team, but that's not necessarily actually the case.
No, I said maybe I broke up, but I said not very good. I did not say very good about the Utah Jazz. The first thing I said was not very good, and then you made me correct it to say not very good at all, comma, they suck. I would never say the Utah Jazz are a very good team, but I am scared of this matchup basically because of the big men. And if the Celtics guards can win their matchup in a significant fashion, they need to dominate their matchup, then I'll be happy and they should win the game. Otherwise, I'm just afraid that Favors and Rudy Gobert are going to just go nuts on the offensive glass and just get possession after possession and shot after shot.
Yeah, I think that if they play at their tempo, then they should be fine. Like I said, especially considering the Jazz are coming off a back-to-back, they might, you know, certain half-court possessions might look ugly. But they might be in that situation like tonight where they end up taking more threes than they want. We saw because of Mozgov essentially, you know, sealed the basket. He just rolled a giant ball in front of the basket, and we might see that again tonight. But if they can hit the perimeter shots, then they'll be fine. Or if they can get out in transition, they'll be fine.
All right. So that's probably going to do it. Did I miss anything tonight? Maybe, maybe not. If I did, the guys tomorrow night will pick up the slack and they will definitely bring you a fine show after that game as the Celtics will take on the Utah Jazz. Little shout out to Timmy Sclafani from Celtics 24/7. He's listening in tonight and he's sort of learning the ropes. He's going to be joining the post-game show as one of our crew members and one of our hosts in the near future. In the next few weeks, you'll hear him on the air. So just wanted to throw that out there. If you haven't checked out Celtics 24/7 yet, you should do that.
You should make all the new hosts like just the entire group of new hosts like sing some sort of choir song together.
Ah, really? Yeah, there are. We do have quite a few rookies this year. Some new hosts, whether it be Jess Thomas or Bobby Kravitsky in their first year. The other guy from Celtics 24/7, who's going to be, that's right, Chris Morrison. The other guy from Celtics 24/7, who's going to be listening in and sort of tagging along with Sean Backe, although he doesn't know it yet tomorrow, is Griffin Gallagher. So we got some new hosts coming in, Calvin, just in time that's for the playoffs. And we're going to, it is a real name, and we're going to have a new rotation just like the Celtics. When Kelly Olynyk comes back, we'll see what that rotation looks like. But for now, go get the app, download all the episodes of Careless Whispers that you can. That's what I have to say about that. Right?
Yeah, we'll try to actually do more, so that way you can collect more shows to you otherwise.
There are over 110 episodes of Careless Whispers that you could find on the CLNS Radio mobile app on your iPhone or your iPad or your Android device. And then you can hear Calvin and I, who just entertained you for the last 50 minutes every day of your lives. You just play us over and over again. And every week, or 2 weeks, sometimes three, there'll be a new show to listen to over and over again. That's Careless Whispers.
I bet you were saying they only had 110 days left to live. I was concerned for a moment. But you're saying, repeat yourself, it's fine.
We have like 110 episodes that they can listen to over and over again. Right?
That's us.
Great. Okay. That's us. Yep. That's us. And that has to get played at least once every time the two of us get together and take over the post-game show. So there it goes.
Because I'm pissed off for greatness.
Thank you, Ray Lewis.
Got to get that in as well. Yep.
Got to get that in. And I'm more pissed off because the Celtics didn't have any fight tonight. They didn't have any fight at all. And they just couldn't.
Don't get in the ball fight.
They need something. I don't know what it is. It's too bad they can't.
We're talking about practice, man.
Oh, we are. We are. Okay. I've had my fun for the night. Not a game, though. Celtics did not win this game.
Not a game. We talking about practice.
And it wouldn't be a game against LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers if I didn't drop this one. So,
Not seven.
Celtics fans, thanks for putting up with me and Calvin. We'll talk to you later for the Celtics post-game show here on CLNS Radio. My name is Matt Rury. Check out Kayla's Whispers and the show tomorrow night, of course. Good night, everyone.
Welcome to the Boston Celtics. This has been the Celtics postgame
this has
show
been,
on
not
CLNSRadio.com. Thanks for
good
listening.
Good night, everyone.
The Celtics might not be in action every day, but we are, so stay connected. Follow us on Twitter at CLNS Radio and check out our broadcast schedule for the best weekly sports podcasts on the web.